Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. I'm Pastor Christian, and with me, as always, is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone.
Ted is recently back from Thailand. Today on the Zach Pod, Ted and I talk about his trip, the things that he saw and learned, and the change of perspective that often accompanies cross-cultural ministry. We discuss a few verses from Colossians, and we talk about Ted's early radio experience. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 27. You used to want to be a radio DJ, huh?
I did when I was a kid, yeah.
Yeah?
I got one of those little Radio Shack things, you know.
No, I don't know. Tell me about it.
Yeah, because Radio Shack used to be a store. You go in the mall and you could find all these electronic parts. They had all these toys that you could put together. And they had this kit that you could build your own radio station.
Wow.
And broadcast. So I got the kit, I don't know, for birthday, Christmas, whatever, so I put it together. Man, I was all excited, you know, and I could broadcast, and I had a record player, and so I'd put records on and pretend I was DJ.
That's awesome.
And then I had my friends go out with their AM/FM transistor radio and see if they could pick me up.
Yeah.
You know, where can you get me? Where can you get
me?
Yeah, and the broadcast signal went only about maybe two houses each way. It wasn't far.
So it was a very niche radio station.
Very niche. So if they drove by the house for a quick 5 seconds they could hear.
They could hear you. Did you have a DJ name or like a station name?
No. I don't know what I made up. I can't remember. Yeah.
WTED.
Yeah, WTED.
Ted.
Ted, during the day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to take a radio class in college. Because I was a communication major.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it's just a general comm major, so you could, you know, I focused mostly on video production and stuff. The radio class, I didn't want to take that one because your assignment was you had to staff, you know, the college radio station. We could only do it, like, super late at night or super early in the morning, you know, like, have the AM stay, like, early, which I for sure did not want to have to wake up early and do a show. And so I didn't do any radio stuff. People had a lot of fun with it, but I was just, I totally missed out.
Yeah,
I didn't take it.
Yeah, my good buddy, he worked at the radio station. NIAC actually had a radio station that was pretty good. And so he and a couple other students were part of that. And then he ended up managing that station for a little bit.
Like after he graduated?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And he did that. I had no part in that, but that was kind of cool. But one of the blessings was we got to record some songs in their studio. So that was kind of cool.
Nice. Kinda your band neat. Or just you personally?
Yeah, just me. And they had a pretty good studio back in the day. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They had some good equipment and it was a lot of fun. Yeah,
and your brother did radio ministry for a while, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, his first pastorate down in Belgrade, they had an AM station. He did a radio program. Every Saturday morning, he'd go early and do a live broadcast of his devotional. It was like 15 minutes. He called it Bible Spectrum. So when I would visit him in the summer, he would get me to bring my guitar down, and they would set up a mic in the studio, and I would play live.
Oh, that's cool.
For a song for his radio, and then he'd give a devotional. But it was out in the middle of sugarcane field. There's this patch of ground. You drive in, there's the mobile home, and there's the big radio tower going up. And you walk in, and it's the little rooms are, you know, the studios. That was kind of funny.
Sugarcane and Belglade.
Sugarcane and Belglade.
Bible Spectrum. That's cool.
Bible
so you have
Spectrum.
So many roots in podcasting, Ted, since before it was even a thing.
Before it was a thing, yeah.
You're pioneering.
Who knew? Who knew?
Well, today on the podcast,
yes,
we're going to talk to Ted about Thailand. So Ted finally got to go. We teased it last time that he was going to be traveling, and with our mission team, we sent a team of six people from our church to a longtime partner that we have in Thailand. Actually, Michael and Elsie were on the show a long time ago, years ago, talking about their ministry in Thailand. And so we got to send a team to go do ministry with them. They got to see all kinds of stuff. And we wanted to, while we had the chance, while it's still pretty fresh, talk to Ted, get the behind the scenes.
That's right. Get the real scoop. Get the real scoop behind it. How did it go?
You mentioned you were worried about the flight. So how were the flights?
I was extremely, well, because I had never flown that far before.
Yeah.
And I mean, the farthest I've ever flown before was from Florida to California. And so, you know, going from Florida to California, then California to Taiwan, and then Taiwan into Thailand, that was quite the adventure. So I was concerned about that long flight. Am I going to be able to get up, walk around, stretch my legs? People were saying, man, your feet are going to swell like balloons. You know, so you're worried about all this. It's like, oh, well, what do? Bring compression socks. Mm. Well, how many pairs? Well, bring enough. So I'd feel my legs. Anyway, but yeah, I did wear compression socks, true confession.
But it was fine?
But it was fine. Well, I wasn't feeling good the day before we left, and I think it was because of all the shots that you have to get before you go overseas. I kind of got a couple of shots at the same time. I think that did me in the day before, so I wasn't feeling too swift. On the way there, I slept. I told myself, I'm going to sleep. Anytime I get on the plane, I'm just going to go to sleep.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to fall asleep. Yeah. So that got me over there. And then our partners, Elsie and Michael, they did their very best to mother me back to health, mm-hmm. pumping me with vitamin C. And Michael was great. He says, take these cough drops. They taste horrible, but it will make your body want to get better, kind of thing. And that was true.
Nice.
Michael and Elsie kept us busy as a team. We would meet them at after breakfast at 8 in the morning, 8 or 9 in the morning. We'd have a little break in the afternoon, enough for me to catch a quick snooze, and then back at it again.
Did you guys do any kind of team devotions or team meetings while you were there, as the six of you?
Yeah, we did. Our trainer encouraged us to have a debriefing time. So even if we were exhausted, we'd come together and we'd sit out. They had a patio and we'd sit and talk about, what were the surprises today? What were the successes? We just kind of talked with each other. What did you see? How did you see God work? Those kind of just mm-hmm. general questions. So there was a good time of sharing.
Yeah. Now, part of what we're doing, so we kind of call this a mission trip or / vision trip, because a lot of what we're doing, what our team's doing while they're there, is getting a sense, catching a vision for what the needs are in Thailand and how God is meeting those needs through Remember New specifically. And so part of that is understanding as much as you can about the culture in Thailand and the people and you know, where are the kids coming from that they're supporting, you know?
Yeah.
And so you guys did a lot of stuff, everything from an elephant sanctuary to a cultural dinner. Talk about some of the places that you went.
We did.
What were some
highlights? Yeah, we did. We had a good time. The first day, Michael met with us with some staff and did a briefing on us, what to expect for the week and basically how to interact with the kids when we are with them. We got to experience some of the cultural things. They had a cultural dinner, giving the history of Thailand and what took place there, and that was kind of interesting to see that. Went to a elephant sanctuary, and we got to feed the elephants. I got kissed by an elephant. We got to interact with shop owners in the streets. They have an open market, people everywhere, just crowded. I mean, it was like going to Disney at spring break. I mean, it's just wall to wall, shoulder to shoulder people.
Did you get some good snacks?
Place. Brian's daughter, Larkin, she was the brave eater. I was not that brave, but she was the brave eater. She did. There were certain things that I had friends tell me, you got to get, you know, basically chicken on a stick.
Yep.
You know, on the street. So we got that. That was excellent. We went there one day with sticky rice and chicken. And then get mango and sticky rice. That was awesome. They had a passion fruit jelly, that jam that was just awesome.
What did you put it on?
They had yellow bread.
Okay.
So it was yellow, and we toasted it, and I think it was cardamom.
Okay.
That was a cardamom bread, but it was yellow. That was kind of good.
You guys went to a Buddhist temple, I think, I remember you said?
We did, yeah. We did visit a Buddhist temple. And that was interesting. It was very beautiful. I mean, a lot of gold and very detailed. And, you know, and there were worshipers there, monks that were chanting. It just reminded me that man is lost and we seek to want to know God, but we kind of try to want to know God on our terms. So, you know, it's like, oh, Lord, let the light, the true light shine.
Yeah.
In the darkness.
Yeah. Anytime you visit, at least in my experience, when you visit other places of worship that are different from your own, it's on one hand, it's a reminder, man, people are reaching for God. You know, they're reaching for spirituality and for the supernatural and for something beyond this plane.
Yes.
And there are different ways that we go about that. And some of them are like really foreign to us. And some of them are dark and not good. On one hand, it's like, well, those the ways in which we reach for God are very enculturated. They have a lot to do with our culture. So if you're born in Thailand and you're hungry for spirituality, where are you going to go? You're probably going to go to a temple where most people go.
Yeah, you know, and it's merit-based. It's like, well, if I do this, then I'll get...
appealing to the deities for help. You know?
Yeah.
And there's so many different kinds of Buddhism, but yeah, there's in terms of like those idols or the statues or the different that represent these different deities, you know, where it's odd because, you know, they'll feed them.
Yeah.
They'll bring food to them.
They'll bring food to
them. And then the idols obviously don't eat it. Usually it's the temple staff who eat it, but there's these offerings of food.
Food.
Those are referenced like all the way back in the New Testament, right?
Yeah.
When Paul's writing about it, he's like, idols.
People were giving money, people were bringing flowers, people were burning incense, people were bowing prostrate before these idols.
Right. And they're trying to appease them and usually it's for help in a certain situation. So there's maybe you go to this one if you're sick and you go to this one if you need a good grade on a test and you know what I mean?
That's right.
And that kind of thing. So on one hand, man, it shows you how people are reaching for God and reaching for a spirit and longing for help beyond this plane. It also makes me want to ask, like, how am I treating my own faith like a merit base? If I do this, well, God bless me. If I this, well, you know what I mean? Because it's very obvious to us when we see it in a different religion.
We're
like, well, I'm not bringing food to an idol. That's strange.
But
are there ways that I am treating God like a vending machine?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, or like, you know, as a little kid, if you went to church all the time and you got your star on the thing, then you get a reward, you know, I got to do that kind of thing, merit base. Kind of thing. One of the things that was interesting, you know, a lot of animals, cats and dogs and everything, but at the temple, they had dogs, and there were certain dogs that had permanent eyebrows, like, tattooed on them.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you see this beautiful red lab come, and it's got black eyebrows, and you're like, what? They would take certain dogs that were strays, and they were temple dogs, and they would take real good care of them, but they would tattoo them. And those were the temple guards to guard away evil spirits, so to speak.
Sure. I just think some of those experiences can be really jarring, you know. So on one hand, you're out in a crowd and it's, you know, the street market. And it's like, man, there's so many people and the smells are different and the language, of course, is different. And it can be really overwhelming, even if you're an outgoing person. You can go to a temple and, you know, you're smelling incense and you're seeing these things that are very unfamiliar to you and maybe even feel like really wrong to you.
Yeah.
And you're watching it and so there's a lot of opportunity for discomfort.
Sure.
But in those moments, it's also an opportunity for you to seek God and be like, man, what are you showing me here? Do you know what I mean? What can I learn from this?
Absolutely.
And so
those are special moments. It was kind of interesting. The city that we were in, you know, they have 3,000 Christian organizations that are based out of that. They're not all doing ministry in that city. They go out from that city.
It's like a hub,
At a hub. But it's a great opportunity for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go, just like we've been preaching through Acts. You know, the gospel is unstoppable.
Yeah.
And it is.
That's cool. So these ministers are present in that city. Even if they're ministering outside of it, there's still like this kernel of like faith that's there. And that is a really cool opportunity.
Yeah.
You guys got to meet your sponsor kids, right?
Got to meet our sponsored daughter. And
when did you start sponsoring her?
2013 or 14.
Do you remember what led to you first starting? Did Michael and Elsie come, or how did you guys specifically?
Well, the pastor at the time, his daughter went over as an intern. Hmm. And we had the partnership with Michael and Elsie, but I think that just grew everybody's awareness. Oh, well, the pastor's daughter over there is an intern, and she served 2 years as an intern.
Wow.
But that increased. And I can't remember if we sent a team over and then we came back and said, yeah, we're going to do this. And then Elsie and Michael did a presentation. And then the founder of the organization, Carl, came down and he preached.
So it was as a church, we decided we're going to do it. And you and Sue jumped in and we're like, okay, well, we'll take one, essentially.
Take one. Yeah, there's different levels. There's like,
so that's more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, more than 10 years ago. So, and the girl we got, she was like 8.
Okay.
And she had her birthday there. She turned 19.
Had a birthday while you were there?
Yeah.
So, oh, that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. We got to buy her, you know, a gift and sing happy birthday to her. And that was wonderful. Seeing how God works And so it's great because when we first started, I think they had maybe one or two homes, two buildings. When we first visited our first group, this was our third team actually to go, but the first team since COVID. Now they have five homes on their campus. I would think about 130 kids.
You guys got to do a few projects while you were there. I know from everything from you. I know you got to preach and do some teaching, and then there was also some work. So tell us a little bit about that. What did the team get to do?
Some of the team got to teach English with Elsie. We had a day where some of the team got to be expert lawn care maintenance people and rake leaves and blow off an edge and just clean up their whole patio area where the kids go outdoors and sit and enjoy refreshments. And right beside that, they wanted to build a bocce court. So Brian and I, we were tagged for the bocce court. We had to cut rebar and then level the dirt. Now, all we had were two worn-out shovels and a level and a wheelbarrow. And basically, that was it. Nice. So in our hands. So it took us all morning.
I know they asked you. They were really excited, Michael and Elsie, about you and Sue coming because you have such a musical background and history.
Yes.
And so
yeah.
A lot of the kids there are learning to play instruments or learning to lead worship and various kinds of things. So how were you able? I know you were kind of going in a little blind, but what were you expecting? And then what did you end up doing as far as that like music camp?
Yeah, we were basically working on vocal technique. Sue did a great job getting them. And they split it up where we had the kids all together, and then they had the worship team a little bit later, and she could do more individual coaching. We worked on transitioning between the different rhythms, and then we also spent time, you know, I had 60 students who said they played guitar, yeah.
And 60 kids and one guitar, right?
One guitar.
Why didn't they bring the guitars from the other houses or something?
I don't know. I didn't think of it at the time, but and they could have broken them up in groups. And I had a translator with me, so that was kind of a challenge trying to show the guitar, teach the guitar. But I think, you know, it gave us insight. So if we ever go back as a team, that we could go the next level. Yeah.
But I'm sure it was a blessing.
It was a blessing. They were thrilled. And yeah, if I had you come, man, it would have been awesome. And I think they're very appreciative. They had a worship night for 2 hours, and they're singing, Blessed Be Your Name. You're recognizing the melody. And so you're able to worship with them. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. And it just reminds us that our God is big. He's huge.
Colossians 3:16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Michael had asked me to preach for the morning worship service, and focused in on Colossians 3:16-17, because I had a real burden. Do these students, do they have a copy of the Word of God? Do they have a Bible? The overwhelming thought was, Lord, you know, if they could really have the Word of God, the Word of Christ, dwell in them richly. So I kind of jumped in on that. What does that mean? Well, you know, God has spoken to us through general revelation, you know, through creation of the world, but he's spoken to us through the prophets and through the writers of Scripture. He's spoken to us through Jesus Christ, and John chapter 1 tells us that he is the Word. He's the living Word. And so when you have Christ, you've come to him by faith, his Spirit lives within you. You have the living Word living in you, and it gives you a desire for the Scriptures, to know them. And so like the psalmist said, if I hide God's word in my heart, if I store it up in my life, you know, that will give me the ability to not sin against my Lord. I can please him. And we know from Christ's example in Matthew that Jesus used the word of God to just, you know, rebuke Satan. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So we see there the importance and the priority of knowing the word of God, memorizing the word of God, studying the word of God, learning and applying it in your life, and then being able to cultivate that listening ear to the Holy Spirit.
When I was at PBA, when I was working there as a missions coordinator, they had this event. It was organized by a bunch of creative worship people, and so it was very terribly organized, honestly, usually.
Yeah.
It just depends, because they were more artsy than they were logistical. I remember one night I went. I didn't usually go, but I happened to go this one night, and you know, they had the band play, and they did their set of whatever it was, 35, 45 minutes. It was in the chapel, and there were no chairs set up, so people were either standing or sitting or kneeling in this big chapel space. Just people in the audience, you know, of things started to pray out. Sometimes they would sing a little bit of a song, and everybody would join in, just a cappella. They would pray a scripture, or they would just pray a prayer. And it went on for like 5 minutes, and then like 10 minutes, and then like 15 minutes, the band just went like and sat down. And then it was like 30 minutes. I remember the guy who was like hosting it tried to get up and like take a mic and he like bring it to a close or like try to bring some structure to it. And he started and then like they just started talking over him and so he just went and sat back down. And I think it went on for a couple hours. And it was one of the times in my life when I felt like this admonishing and teaching one another, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Yeah. There was this spirit, you know, that was there that was compelling people to speak out, and nobody was leaving. You know, they were all together teaching and admonishing one another through this, specifically this phrase, this psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that felt really, really special. Like I said, sometimes they'd just be talking, sometimes they'd be singing. I feel like there's something special that happens or can happen when we are together and we kind of submit ourselves to each other. So nobody's looking at the clock.
Yeah.
They're not like, when do we have to get out of here?
That's
they're
right.
not looking at which one of us is the leader. But they're all just receiving from one another. The Lord was super glorified in that. I remember the director of the program, the guy that was my boss, he was just like stoked on that for a year. You know what I mean?
Oh,
he was like,
good.
This is the best thing that's ever happened. It was really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I think that comes out of an overflow of your heart as, okay, I'm a follower of Jesus. I love Jesus. I love what Jesus is telling me. His word is dwelling in me, that abiding presence of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And out of that overflow comes the teaching, comes the admonishing, comes the wisdom, comes the singing and that expression. And then it's filled with what? Thankfulness.
I know we've talked about the Bible and also general revelation, but just if the word is, you know, the presence of God or the voice of God, the even the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Dwelling within us, obviously affect the way that we live our lives, and people should be able to tell, you know?
Yeah.
And if there's a contrast, if there's a difference between those who are filled with the Spirit and have the word dwelling richly within them, it should be apparent to all.
Yeah.
It's what you said. It's, you know, out of this overflow. It's not just a song. It's not just a recitation of some words. Well, it is just that if the word isn't dwelling in you richly, you know, it is just a song or a poem or a recitation, unless it's filled with something. What it's filled with is, you know, your commitment to God and God within you. There's something spiritual. There's something special about that, that it being out of the overflow. That's relevant to me, I think, when we lead worship on Sunday mornings and when we're singing to God, that like, man, we want to bring ourselves before him, but it's deep calling to deep. It's our spirits connecting with his Spirit and
that's
both
right.
like, issuing forth from ourselves.
Yes.
It's not just words. The words posture us into this relationship. And I think that's present here in Colossians 3.
Yeah, that group is. So we kind of, you know, it was unique for me to preach with a translator.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you got to take it in smaller chunks because the day before in the music camp, I had, you know, lengthy words. And so it was a challenge. But we got better. And he said, oh, man, you used a lot of scripture, which I did. But the main points for the children that I wanted them to really, you know, get in the Word of God, the scriptures every day, so they could hide it in their hearts, so they could have tools that would equip them. So when the enemy comes along to tempt them, they could say no to the temptation, yes to God, and not lean on their own understanding, but rely upon God's wisdom.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
What about the second part of that? Then, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
How did you break that down?
You know, that's our heart's desire. So everything you do for them, they have different chores. So they're doing laundry one day, or they're helping cook one day, or they're cleaning and sweeping one day. Whatever they're doing it as an act of devotion for the Lord. You know, whatever you do in word or deed and everything, in the name of the Lord, give thanks to Him. So out of that overflow, I'm thanking you, Lord. And I think there is an element of, you know, thankfulness for those kids.
I love this, the theme of this, you know, whatever you do in word or deed, so that what you say or what you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I think that that is, and do it in a posture of thankfulness to God.
Yes.
That's so powerful for people, whether you're in ministry or not, that like all the things that you do count because you do them for the Lord. I remember being on the mission field, and this is really important because a lot of this work that you do isn't glamorous, you know? It isn't leading a campaign. It isn't necessarily leading someone to Jesus every day. There's a lot of like grinding, you know, a lot of grunt work, and you know, you got to call and ask people for money to support you, and you got to make dinner, you know, and you know what I mean? Like I was on a teaching visa in China, and I found that, man, I really liked teaching. And as I was doing it, I was giving thanks to God. But there's other people who are like, this is just your excuse. Like teaching is just the visa. But like I had to teach 20 hours a week. That was a big part of my work life. And so can I do that in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God as I do that? Can you do that in language school? Missionaries, when they're in language school, it's the worst. I mean, it's hard. You feel like a failure over and over and over. If you're not very like outgoing, the way that you learn is by going out and talking to people. And not everybody's very good at that, you know, especially when you feel like you're a child and you can't say words. So it's brutal. And can you do that? Can you do language school 20, 30 hours a week in the name of the Lord? These kids, when they're doing their chores, can they do that in the name of the Lord, you know? And the house parents and the all of the
stuff. All that. Are they doing it for the Lord?
This is such an empowering idea to me for, and I'm thinking of it in terms of your team that went.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
You did so many different kinds of things, right?
We were filled with gratitude for the opportunity to be there, filled with gratitude to represent our church family, filled with gratitude to reconnect with Michael and Elsie, and I was just praising God for them, watching them. They were just amazing how they were ministering, and so filled with gratitude over the people we met, the staff, the parents, and even our van driver was amazing. Mm-hmm. So it was a real opportunity to give thanks to the Lord. And for us, for me personally, thanking the Lord at this old age, allowing me to go and experience that.
Absolutely. Expand that horizon. You get a glimpse of that God is bigger than you thought.
Yes,
absolutely. You certainly don't see all of Him, but you see more of Him.
Yes, you see more of Him.
It's worth it, right?
It is worth it. Absolutely. We do it again.
Thanks for joining us on the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here. And we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts for this show, as well as our daily devotionals and other podcasts we make. All of our content is produced in-house by the ZAC Media team. If you want to connect with us further, find us on Facebook and visit our website, zaccma.org.